Good morning. It is Thursday, September 22nd. Today is officially the first day of fall. It actually hits at 9:03 p.m. this evening. A lot of people are hashtagging first day of fall. And with that, I've seen a few pictures of President Biden falling off his bike in reference to fall. Also trending, Adam Levine. More people have come out, more women actually have come forward accusing the Maroon 5 frontman of sending flirty messages. Adam came out and said, people cheat. I cheated. Finally trending, Coors Light. A semi full of the beer was ripped wide open and sent cans of Coors Light flying all over a Florida interstate, leaving it covered in beer. That happened on I-75, just about 30 miles north of Tampa.
So the cans were like punctured in some capacity. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just like cans of beer.
No, there's cans of beer, and then the beer cans exploded, right, and there's just beer flying everywhere.
So my question to you, Casey, is, is there anything you would see in the middle of a crowded highway in which you would risk pulling over and trying to run in the middle of it and grab said item? Like, what is the monetary amount? Like, if you saw, and this obviously is operating from the premise that you could get away with it, because, like, let's say you saw a Brinks truck had tipped over and there was money. If you tried to take you would get in trouble.
What? What's this?
Like, is it 10 grand? Because there's a strong chance you're going to get drilled. Like, in the middle of 465 at 4 p.m., mm-hmm, there's no...
Yeah, no, I'm not running after anything.
There's no amount of money.
When there's other traffic coming? No,
nothing.
If traffic was stopped and I were near it,
yeah.
Yeah, I might be inclined to...
But
what?
There is no, like, there's not, I couldn't just keep upping the dollar amount, or eventually you would say, yes, that is worth it to me.
Mm, no. Especially not beer.
Well, one of us values our life more than the other. Because if there were like $8 out there, I'd run and try to grab it.
You'd run in traffic for $8? That's good news for a lot of people, I think.
Hey, real quick, we do have a big announcement. We have an update on the big announcement.
Last hour,
we announced we are bringing back the voicemail box.
Yeah.
You people apparently so wanted to talk to us that you've already had shut the thing down. So we've cleared the garbage out, and mm-hmm, it's only the good stuff. If you would like to call the show and leave thoughts and commentary on whatever it is we're talking about.
Questions, comments, and smart remarks.
We now welcome you to do that. We are bringing it back. The phone number for you to call is 317-684-8444. 317-684-8444. It is back open again, as we were alerted that it had filled up already. And each day, if there are some good voicemails, we will try to play them. But the onus is on you, the caller. We're not opening up the phone lines. We're not risking the very high ratings of this radio program on folks who do not have the broadcasting experience that we do. But we will give you an opportunity to shine at 317-684-8444.
People still use phones.
When was the last? Do you talk on the phone?
I do. But not as much as I used to.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like, why are you calling me? You could have texted me.
Yeah, I used to talk on the phone all the time when I owned my business. But now I very rarely have any reason. I mean, what can I not say via a text message
right
to someone?
Right. So we would love to hear your beautiful voices. That number, 317-684-8444. 9 minutes after 10, he's Rob Kendall. My name is Casey Daniels. By the way, you can join us on YouTube if you'd like. Just type in Kendall and Casey, WIBC, into the YouTube search bar. So yesterday was a big day for the Federal Reserve, Rob. They raised their benchmark interest rate by 0.7%. 75 percentage points and signaled plans for another higher rate hike possibly coming in November. They said they're going to keep doing it as long as possible, as much as needed as possible, trying to douse the red hot inflation, right?
Okay, so we've got audio of Jerome Powell as the head of the Fed. Mm-hmm. And so if it's all right with you, it's half your show. And, you know, unlike on-demand abortion advocate Destiny Wells, Democrat running for Secretary of State, I respect women in the workplace, so I'm going to ask you permission, since it's half your show, to play the audio, then comment
sure
on the audio. Is that all right? All right,
yeah,
take a listen.
Good afternoon. My colleagues and I are strongly committed to bringing inflation back down to our 2% goal. We have both the tools we need and the resolve that it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses. Price stability is the responsibility of the Federal Reserve and serves as the bedrock of our economy. Without price stability, the economy does not work for anyone. In particular, without price stability, we will not achieve a sustained period of strong labor market conditions that benefit all. Today, the FOMC raised its policy interest rate by 0.75 percentage point, and we anticipate that ongoing increases will be appropriate. We are moving our policy stance purposefully to a level that will be sufficiently restrictive to return inflation to 2%.
2%.
Okay, so the math, Brian Baker posted this article yesterday, and it is highly alarming if the goal is 2%, because the article, and maybe we'll get to it later on in the show, basically says in order to get to 2%, the average time frame is 10 years. And you are seeing inflation like what you have not seen in this country really in 40 years. So it's markedly worse than it normally is. Here's the problem with all this, Casey. And you know, I'm a big proponent of the Fed raising the interest rates. They're absolutely doing the right thing. If it goes to 10%, probably okay. Money should not be cheap. Money should not be able to be acquired easily. You should have to prove you could pay it back, and you should have to think it through real long and real hard for every dollar you borrow. Here's the problem, though. And until Jerome Powell, he's danced around it before, but he's going to have to come out and say it directly and say it often. And he's trying to be, you know, a peacemaker here. He's trying to keep everybody happy. I get it. But Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve are being made out to be scapegoats right now, especially amongst the liberal loony left, Elizabeth Warren, et cetera, Bernie Sanders, these people. Oh, you're going to raise us into recession. Bull.
Well, they're spending us into inflation.
You spent us into a recession because the you know, you want to talk about the attorney general investigating Donald Trump in New York, investigating Donald Trump. They should be investigating the United States Congress and the governors across the state who went along with it, because that's the fraud that was imposed on the American people, was this message to Americans of, oh, you know, we can shut down society. Yeah, we can close all the businesses. We can cost millions of people their jobs. And you know what? It's not going to hurt anyone because we're going to print a bunch of money and we're going to give it to you so you're not missing any meals. So you'll just quietly go along and we'll spend billions on a vaccine and we'll tell you it's free because you don't have to pay when you go to the Walmart or Kroger to get your vaccine. And then, Casey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make interest rates. We're going to pressure the Fed to make interest rates super duper low to cover for our printing all of this money and putting everyone out of work. So that way the economy continues to work. Because, well, rich people are going to gobble up the opportunity to get money super cheap. So then we'll say, look at what we did. Look, we shut down society and everyone was safe and Casey was safe and little Kevin was safe and Rob was safe. And see, no harm, no foul. Just be good little people and sit at home and watch your Tiger King. When in reality, they being the government, were the ones destroying society and ordering and mandating and pressuring the Fed to play along with their little game. And now the Fed's saying, hey, time's up. Everybody's figured out the magic trick. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work anymore. Inflation, really bad. We're going to go do our part. To stave off society from epic collapse. No, Elizabeth Warren and the rest of those losers go, well, this is totally irresponsible by the Federal Reserve. They're going to raise us right into a recession. No, you put us in a recession, lady. You, Elizabeth Warren, Todd Young, the vast majority of the United States Congress, because you signed off on all this stuff. Money printapalooza and shutting down society is why we're about to be in a recession. And I am shocked that Jerome Powell continues to take crap from these people, and in every speech he gives, doesn't say, don't look at me, look at Elizabeth Warren, look at Todd Young, look at Bernie Sanders. Those are the bad guys here, not me.
So this is the fastest that the Fed has been tightening in the post-war period. Like, these are the most increases in the short amount of time in decades. And were you surprised that it was only 0.75 percentage point instead of a full point?
Well, no. What they need, and again, somebody the other day, some major financial institution, I can't remember exactly who it was, said they should just come out and say, here's where we're going to get anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's just go ahead and do it.
Right.
Interest rates have been low for way too long, even before COVID. The idea that you could get money at 4 or 5%, and look, I'm telling you, somebody who got money at cheaper than 4 or 5%. I took advantage of it. But the idea that money is that readily available, for once, the American dollar, for once in our lifetime, my lifetime, you're just a couple years older than me, so maybe in your lifetime, but for once, the Federal Reserve has made money mean something again. This is the first, I remember when I was in high school, I had a CD and it was getting 6%. And I remember like thinking that was normal. I mean, it hasn't been anywhere near, you know, a 6 month CD. You couldn't get anywhere near that now. You should. Your money should have value. If you are willing to save money, you should be rewarded for doing things the right way. And God bless the Federal Reserve for making the dollar, not because of anything we've done, but because the other countries are so weak, the strongest it's been in an entire generation. Great. Fabulous. If the government would do their job, you would see unmatched prosperity in this country. Absolutely. You would blow the doors of what this economy and what America could be doing on the world stage.
So the stock market slumped on the news just a little bit. The S&P 500 fell 1.5%. And I'm just wondering, if the Fed had raised it a full percentage point, would that have been even more drastic for the stock market? Like, are they afraid to do, like you say, rip the Band-Aid off and just finally do it because they're afraid of what will happen to Wall Street?
What is the Dow? Okay, so the Dow is, and I have said this for a long, long, long time, when the Dow was, what, it was 35, 36, whatever it was, it's almost at 30. I've said for years on this radio station, and as usual, if people would listen to me, we wouldn't be in this predicament. None of this is real. If the stock market fluctuates based on ease of acquiring currency for risky behavior, then that's not real. And I've said for years and years and years that we were way overinflated. 30,000 was probably the actual number of where we should be in society if it were real, because they were doing this under Trump too, not nearly to the magnitude, obviously, from COVID forward. But when you have money super cheap, it's easy to take a risk because the money you're acquiring by holding onto the money is not worth it. So you might as well take a risk. So people were putting it in the stock market. None of that stuff was real. None of it was real. I'm sorry if you're upset about what's going on in this country. The government did it to you. They lied to you for years. You were manipulated, used, and abused. Now you're paying for it. It's not the Federal Reserve's fault.
Okay, so now they're saying that this is going to affect the unemployment rate. It could jump up to 4.4% next year, which is an increase from where it's at 3.7. So yeah, so now it's going to start affecting employment. People are going to be let go.
Yeah, but the question is, so, and I know that sounds heartless, but the answer is, you were lied to for all these years. It wasn't real. It's like finding out your loved one was, you know, wasn't who they said they were.
Was Adam Levine?
I mean, yeah, well, great. Perfect example. None of it's real. You were lied to. So yeah, you may lament, boy, it wasn't as good as it used to be, but it was never that good.
Okay, so let's listen to this
Well, why don't we take a break?
Oh,
real
yeah,
quick.
We do. We need to take a break. It is 18 after 10. We've got history showing that inflation takes about 10 years to recover from. And we're going to get into that just a little bit deeper. That's coming up from 93 WIBC. Prices for meat, poultry, fish, eggs, dairy products, they're all higher. You're used to it now. You've been to the grocery store. What happens if you're paying 10% more this year and then next year it's still 10% plus another 10% and then the following year it's another 10%? It just keeps compounding on each other. Here's a tip. If you're going to the discount grocery store, you might want to reconsider. Recent reports are saying that the food at the discount stores may be more expensive than those at, say, Walmart or Meijer or Kroger.
We went to Walmart last night. By the way, I'd like to say thank you to the very lovely fan who shouted across the aisleway that he enjoys the show. I didn't get his name, but wanted to say thank you. It was very nice of you to say that. I can't go out anywhere, Casey. It's just terrible.
You're so popular.
Well, I know what Elvis must have felt like there towards the end.
Oh, boy. Yes. Rob Kendall is Elvis Presley.
I mean, it's very hard to know that when you're in a public place like a Walmart, there's just a throng of people that you have made their day and they want to tell you about it. It's a tough life.
Please tell me you don't truly believe that. Okay. Okay.
Well, you don't understand. Casey. You don't. I'm not saying on a global scale, but I'm saying in the town of Brownsburg.
Okay.
There may be no
Brownsburg. I'll give you
more
Brownsburg.
Beloved figure when you couple what we do here every day, what I did as an elected official, when I defeated that $100 million school referendum. Mm-hmm. You think about the life I've lived.
You deserve to be in the Brownsburg High School Hall of Fame.
Well, you could make a compelling case, and it is tough for a modest person like me to say this, but I'm the most important person who has ever lived in the town of Brownsburg, and it's something I'm willing to take on and continue to do each day because I love people.
It's a burden. I know.
We got sidetracked here. Anyway, my point was, we got $65 worth of groceries. Mm-hmm. I told my wife, I said, because we put all of our stuff in the same cart. Mm-hmm. I said, because you've been a good wife this week, I will pay for the groceries. And as such, if you spend more than me on your groceries, you're out of the house. So you better be very careful. Uh-huh. Hers was $32.50. Mine was 33 something. So she gets to stay in the house.
That's pretty equitable.
But we looked in the cart and I said, I don't feel like we really got a whole lot for $65.60.
No, it doesn't go far, does it? I mean, eggs are up 40%.
And we are price shoppers, like we look at the price.
Yeah.
And so anyway, all of that being said, we're in colossal trouble. The government is doing nothing to actually help the situation, which is to stop spending money. The Federal Reserve cannot print their way out of it. And here's a former Obama economic advisor telling basically the same thing. Take a listen.
I am worried about the situation we're in. Historically, you've never seen the Fed be able to bring inflation down from this type of level without causing a recession. You heard the Fed chair in August at Jackson Hole say basically he's single-mindedly concerned about inflation, and if unemployment starts rising, he's not going to let up on what he needs to do. I think that's incredibly unpleasant, incredibly unfortunate, but the alternative might be even worse. If you let inflation get entrenched, it could require an even bigger recession a couple of years from now to bring it down.
Okay, so inflation remains elevated, and we've got a lot of inflation risks. Let's switch gears really quick. This is from the It's Okay When We Do It, But Not You category. We're going to hear from one of your faves, Karine Jean-Pierre. She said that the Biden administration has always been ready to act on immigration. This after she criticized Ron DeSantis' decision to send those two planes to Martha's Vineyard. She was asked if President Biden had attempted to reach out to either DeSantis or Abbott in Texas, and she said, I don't know why we do that.
So a random, confused, accidental act of journalism that you're about to hear broke out from MSNBC. Mm-hmm. They had the audacity to ask how the federal government's plan that has come out, which was to fly illegals to the northern border, is any different than the DeSantis-Abbott plan, and Karine Jean-Pierre's answer was the answer she always gives. It's a non-answer, other than, as we talked about, the new talking point, this is a new migration. Listen.
We have some reporting from NBC. The DHS officials have presented the White House with some options, including flying migrants to the country's northern border with Canada to alleviate overcrowding on the U.S.-Mexico border. Under a plan proposed by DHS, migrants would be sent to such cities as Los Angeles, where shelters would get an advance warning to have time to prepare for the influx. Now I know some people are going to say, sending migrants on planes, wait, alarm bells. Tell me how that is meaningfully different than what DeSantis and Abbott are doing.
So let me just say a couple of things about what's happening at the border. The DHS put out a report laying out what kind of a migration situation that we're dealing with, which is very new. I mentioned Venezuela, I mentioned Nicaragua, I mentioned Cuba. We have seen an increase of about 121% since last year of what's going on with these countries that are fleeing communism. So that has gone up. And if you look at Central America, in the last 3 months, we have seen a decrease of about 43%. So we are in a different kind of migration component right now. And so we have to deal with where we are.
What did she say? It's different.
It's different.
They're fleeing communism.
Sure.
But the border...
It's secure.
The border sheriff said they're not fleeing communism. They're just illegals coming here. And the illegal immigrant that Fox News talked to said, no, we just came because it's easy to come here.
2 million. 2 million people. It's the size of Ireland. It's an invasion.
Hey, We got to take a break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, Abdul will be with us. He has a huge announcement. There is a big name that he says is absolutely 100% running for governor.
Ooh, this is big stuff. You're going to want to stick around for this. It's coming up from 93 WIBC.
There ain't no good guy. There ain't no bad guy. There's only you and me. And we
93 WIBC. It is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's here. And oh, Casey, look who it is.
I know.
We're back.
He's boy, what a perfect description for you. He's an author, he's a broadcaster, he's a provocateur, the one and only Abdul Hakim Shabazz, and you come bearing big news over at IndyPolitics.org this morning. Mike Braun is going to run for governor, say you.
Yes, he is. We've been hinting at it in the cheat sheet for a while. And I wrote in the last edition that Mike was basically going around, he was talking to Republican county chairman across the state of Indiana. And then I actually spoke to a couple county chairmen yesterday. They called me, like, "Hey, Abdul, FYI, Mike Braun tells us he's running for governor."
Oh.
I was like, "Wow!" And these are two
and
county.
They just dropped that on you real casually. Yeah. Oh, by the way.
Yeah. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, the thing is, and they're different parts of the state, so it's not like the Hendricks County and Boone County Republican chairman, like, "Hey, Abdul, blah blah." No, this is like north and southeastern Indiana. So yeah, Mike Braun's going to run for governor. He's probably going to announce after Election Day.
Okay, so question for you. He has, and as we talked about the State House happenings, which airs Sunday mornings on WIBC, Mike Braun has more than one occasion put his foot in his mouth. He has said some things that has got him in some trouble, but by and large, it still remains a pretty safe Senate seat. If he ran again, as long as he didn't do something egregious, he would overwhelmingly be reelected. Why would you want to risk a safe Senate seat for a governor's primary that could be anybody's ballgame, and he's going to have to spend a bunch of his own money to do it?
Happiness.
Oh.
Because Mike is not happy right now.
Uh-huh.
He's not happy in the U.S. Senate. I knew he told folks he would probably stay if he thought the Senate was going to keep the majority. But since it doesn't look like they're going to keep their... If the Senate retook the majority. But since that does look like that's going to happen, he's like, you know what? I'm just, you know, serve my final 2 years and just prepare a gubernatorial run.
So is his ad campaign going to say, "I'm Mike Braun running for governor"? For governor running, I'm Mike Braun.
I approve this message. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. Obviously, the governor's race is until 2024, so he's got plenty of time to get organized. But he's got name ID statewide because he's a U.S. senator, so that kind of helps. Unlike Eric Doden, who has to go spend money to introduce voters as to who he actually is. But Mike Braun has never been happy in the Senate, and Mike has always been more of an executive branch type person than a legislative branch because it takes a certain personalities to do both. Because Mike ran his own company for a while, still does, even though the kids run the show right now. But Mike has been happy in the Senate, doesn't like Washington, D.C., rather come back home to Indiana, do some things here.
Does he fill the conservative lane? Because we've talked about how, look, the establishment lane is going to be Suzanne Crouch, this Doden guy who's super interesting to me. He's kind of a Pence person. But the conservatives we're still looking for, we need, you know, a high-profile conservative to kind of step up and win this primary. Is Braun, is that his talking
point? I think Mike fills more the outsider lane.
Ah.
Yeah, now that I think about it, because he always sort of ran, because remember his commercial back in 2018.
Do you get to say you're an outsider if you've been a U.S. senator? And then he was a state rep before that. It wasn't like he was, you know, running a bait and tackle shop somewhere.
He was a school board member before that.
So, I mean, let's face it. Mike Braun has been in politics for a very, very, very long time at this point.
Yeah, kind of like Donald Trump. I'm an outsider, but you built tall buildings and shit.
Yeah, but Mike Braun has literally been an elected official for years and years and years and years at this point. I mean, I think the outsider label kind of over once you've been a United States senator.
But I think what I can argue is I went to Washington, D.C. I never got rid of my outsider thoughts or mentality. Sort of had that outsider.
I didn't get much done, but I'm an outsider at it.
Exactly.
What about Mitch Daniels? What happens to Mitch now? You report in the cheat sheet that he's like bought a house in Florida.
Mitch has bought a house in Florida and he joined a country club in Florida.
Oh.
And those aren't signs that you're running for governor of Indiana.
So I think we know what he's doing when he's done at Purdue. Yeah.
Exactly. I know he's flattered about people wanting to run for governor, you know, because it's always nice to be sort of talked about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, he'll be 75 years old and I want to spend my golden years, you know, with my grandkids mm-hmm. and my lovely wife and, you know, playing golf and living in nice weather as opposed to being up here in Indiana.
Proving again that Mitch Daniels is a smart guy.
Yes.
Getting out when the getting's good, right?
And get out while they still like you.
Right.
Abdul is our guest. He reported late last night, Mike Braun over at IndyPolitics.org, that Mike Braun is going to run for governor. Okay, obviously that opens up a U.S. Senate lane. We didn't get into this on State House Happenings. Please, 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 Abdul, please tell me there is nothing I would love more than to see Eric Holcomb try to run in a U.S. Senate primary. Please tell me that that is going to happen. Please tell me.
I can tell you, but I wouldn't be accurate because I just don't know yet. I do know that if Mike Braun goes through with his plans to run for governor, I would pay attention to Jim Banks.
Yeah,
Jim Banks running for the U.S. Senate.
Banks is mad at me for some reason, I think, right now, but we like his politics, so that's fine.
Yeah, Banks will probably run for the Senate. Rokita may try to run.
No way.
Again.
No.
I just write what I'm told.
It's kind of like Casey on 93 WIBC.
No way. There's no way Todd Rokita's gonna run for U.S. Senate. Is that a thing?
Maybe.
For real?
Maybe. He's a contender.
Ah. Okay. Real quick, there was a big prosecutorial forum in Marion County a couple nights ago. It involved the incumbent Democrat prosecutor Ryan Mears, the Republican challenger Cindy Carrasco. What happened? Did everybody get out in one piece? Did it change anybody as they walked out of the building? You were there.
I would say both Mears and Carrasco are talking to their base, so to speak, that if you are if you think crime is a big issue and holding criminals accountable, you wanted Cindy Carrasco. If you wanted sort of people to get to the root causes of understanding crime and social justice, so to speak, Mears was your guy. I do think Cindy has a path to victory, but if I were her, I'd spend the next 50 days and change in crime-ridden neighborhoods because that's where the problem is, and that's where people are most concerned because about the crime issue. So, like I said, I thought they both did fine for what they had to do and who they were speaking with. But at the end of the day, I still think the wins favor Mears because Marion County is just so Democratic right now.
As someone who has successfully run for public office and won overwhelmingly.
I know you ran for public office.
I'm very qualified to comment on this. And you and I talked about this off air yesterday. I guess you got to go to them. But I have always maintained that these like community forums, these, and I'm not saying they're not worthwhile. I'm not saying it's good to have civic engagement. I understand as a candidate you have to go. But these various... you know, civic forums, et cetera, different than a debate, which is, you know, statewide television or whatever. But these civic things, these meet and greets are a giant waste of time because almost everyone, it seemed like, that would walk into these, like, has a button on, knows who they're voting for. You're not swaying a whole bunch of minds in these things. Am I wrong?
I would say you're not totally wrong. However, I would say the price of not going and not attending is greater than the price of attending.
Because I said I'd rather be out knocking on doors because the doors, you generally, for the most part, will find people who, A, maybe have no idea there's even an election or who's running, or B, are truly undecided. If you know enough to go to the forum,
you're already involved.
You probably got an idea of who you're voting for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, you can either submit people to get them to vote for you or get them to vote against your candidate. And also, hey, I really like what Casey had to say. I want to volunteer for a campaign.
Ah, yes. And I would totally do that if Casey ran for
public
office.
And donate.
Okay, Abdul, before we let you go, I am hearing amongst the trees that a bevy of people, high-profile people, noted people, are working on something, and it's the same thing involving our old friend Diego Morales. I've also heard maybe you might be one of these people. Here's your opportunity. Go ahead and be the talk of Central Indiana. Go ahead. Floor's yours.
At first, it was getting fired from the Secretary of State's office.
Yes.
Then it was...
Which you broke that story.
Yeah, then it was quitting before getting fired from the Secretary
of State. You broke that story.
Then it was the $43,000 car vehicle.
You broke that story.
Then it was the issue about early voting, and he kind of backtracked. Didn't break that one, but it was in the middle of all that.
But you've been completely right on all the stories so far.
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay.
And then there was the military record. And
yes.
Why was he let go from the military? And he says you have to let the military ask. Well, now there's another shoe getting ready to drop.
Oh.
I'm working on it. The AP, I believe, is working on it. And a couple other media folks are working on it as well.
And it's all the same thing.
Yeah, you know, we're all pretty much sort of gravitating toward the same black hole. And what it is, I can't go into too much detail. But I hear two words that people keep in mind.
Oh.
Me too.
Oh. So it's Diego.
and me too are the words people should keep in mind.
Yes.
Okay, so like next Thursday when we have you on this award-winning program, will I be saying, what in the world will we be talking about today?
There's a 40% chance.
Oh. So obviously when the very powerful people throughout the Republican Party who do listen to the show, even though they loathe us for the most part, who do listen, when they hear this, will there be an immediate meeting at a dark room somewhere in which Jack Bauer is brought in and the candidate is tied to a chair and they're going to pry out whatever he hasn't maybe informed them of yet? Is that...
I don't think the room will be all that dark, but... But I wouldn't be surprised if somebody got waterboarded.
Okay. Well, we'll...
Politically speaking, waterboarded.
We'll wait for you to inform us of what's going on. Where can people learn about you and what you do?
IndyPolitics.org, and get yourself a cheat sheet subscription because it'll probably be on the cheat sheet before it becomes public.
Oh, I see. By the way, are you working this weekend? Or are you doing anything for us this weekend?
Actually, yes. Actually talking to the State House just had a summer study committee meeting on marijuana legalization.
Yes.
So we'll be talking about that. And also, I'll be replaying portions of the... Mary County prosecutor debate from this week.
He's a national treasure. You can hear him Saturdays 1 to 3, Abdul at Large. The one and only Abdul Kim Shabazz. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
93 WIBC, it's Kendall and Casey Show. And everything looks so cold when you're walking down on the
streets and the wind catches your feet. Good morning, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. It is 1046 and Hammer's in the studio. Hey, Hammer, did you notice Kevin's back?
I know, that's why the show sounds bad.
Oh,
it's not Jacob. It's Kevin.
Where the hell have you been, Kevin? Can we talk about your personal life? Because I know sometimes you get a little skittish when we talk about personal life stuff, even though it's kind of what we signed up for.
What do you want to know?
Like, where were you? What were you doing? Why were you away from work so long? Did you
for
miss
like
everybody?
14 days.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I left at a very convenient time because I heard about all the technical difficulties.
Oh, dude.
I went to France and Spain.
Oh, you went to where?
I went to France and Spain.
Okay.
And
all right.
He brought a cold back with him.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather from flying so much.
If we all get COVID and it's your fault, you're in big trouble, buddy. I just want to get that out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a sinus infection. You'll be fine.
Okay, so I guess we'll get into it now. Did you see any prostitutes while you were abroad?
I didn't. I think I saw one. Now, prostitution wasn't as like open as I thought it would be there.
Did you try? Did you do your best?
It was surprisingly difficult.
Like, I did some research online, but I didn't actually go and seek it out. But
Wait a minute. You did some research online?
Yeah, you guys.
What does that even mean?
You guys sparked my interest when you were asking me about it.
The final day we were on the MS servers, he just looked up where to get hookers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There were no nude women in the windows. We talked about that.
No, that's just an Amsterdam thing. But I did see a lot of nude women on the beaches.
That's right. You went to a topless beach.
And were there hairy underarms? Because there's a cultural difference sometimes when it comes to like shaving hair.
I did not notice the hairy underarms, but yeah, there's just exposed boobs.
What's the etiquette on the beach? Do you look? Is it okay to look?
I think it's okay to look. You
or
know,
like people like my eyes are up here. Like,
you don't want to stare or anything like that. You just, but you know, quick glances. I think
you
are
also
acceptable.
Saw naked men.
Yeah, there was a few guys that were naked. There was actually one guy that like started changing right in front of us.
I don't know. I think I'm okay with the nude women. I'm not okay with the nude men. Does that make me a sexist?
Yes.
And the people that are naked, like in the movies, it's all like Scarlett Johansson's and Jennifer Lawrence's. I'm willing to bet the folks that you saw naked probably would not fall into that category.
And it was mostly grandmas, really.
Yeah. Now, when you were in France, did you do any like the touristy stuff? Did you see like the Eiffel Tower or go to the Louvre or anything like that?
Well, we did go to the Louvre. We did a tour. We had like a private tour guide. Mm-hmm. And so we did that.
Did you see the Mona Lisa?
Yeah, we saw that. There was a ton of people taking selfies with it.
How close can you get to it? Like, you can't just walk up to it, right?
There's like a rope, I think, in front of it that keeps you like maybe 5 feet away
and it's in like a glass case. It's not like the painting of Hulk Hogan that I have on my wall at home. it's in a glass case of some sort, right? Like you couldn't just walk up at the paintbrush or something.
A glass case of emotions.
Yeah, I don't think it was in a glass case. It was just right up there.
No way.
There was, I would probably say there was about 10 feet actually between you know, the rope and the actual painting. So,
but when you think of Paris, France, though, you kind of think of that painting at, in the Louvre, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, because this brings us to something we talked about yesterday. My son is the class president, and their homecoming theme was A Night in Paris.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So their homecoming float had, like, somebody in a Mona Lisa costume, mm-hmm. and this one chick who's just a habitual pain in his ass all the time. Her parents probably hate me and hate everything I stand for, was trying to argue that the Mona Lisa is more Italian than it is French because the painter was Italian.
Oh. I think even the Italians tried to steal it at one point. But yeah, I always associate it with France and
right,
Paris.
Because that's the museum that it's in, mm-hmm. to which Chris Hammer had to clap back to Little Miss Know-It-All.
Yeah.
First of all, Mona Lisa is a painting. It's not a real person. Second of all, it hangs up and it's in perpetuity in France.
Did he just look at her and go, you know who I am? I'm the MF class president. That's who I am. I say what we do.
Pull a Mayor Emily from Zionsville.
Was she Italian by any chance? Because I know like the Italians do say that they own that painting.
No, she's just a pain in the ass.
Oh, okay.
This was also the same person that brought forward the complaint that Hawaiian Shirt Day was culturally inappropriate.
Oh, sure.
To which
right.
Chris had to argue, well, Hawaii is a state in the United States of America. How can it be inappropriate if it's our own culture?
By the way, so did you do anything illegal? Anything that could have got you thrown in prison?
Did you smoke a lot of tweeds? Them tweeds?
I was smoking those. I was smoking some European hand-rolled cigarettes, but you know that's not illegal.
Are they Dunhill tobacco? That's nothing.
Yeah, I'm not a cigarette expert by any means. So the Europeans have different cigarettes than mm-hmm. like Americans do.
Well, a lot of Europeans it's the same kind of tobacco, I think, but they just like to buy the hand-rolled mm-hmm. like supplies because it's a lot cheaper. It's about half the price.
Were the electrical outlets different? Because when my wife and family went to Italy a couple years ago,
when they left you behind,
right? they brought their chargers, like mm-hmm. the plug-in, but the outlets were designed differently.
Yeah, you got to get an adapter.
What do you mean they were designed differently?
They don't have the three plugs. They have a different.
They
current.
Go like diagonally and stuff. It's weird.
No kidding.
Yeah, you have to get an adapter.
Mm-hmm. Mind, why would it be different? Isn't electricity like a universal thing?
There's different amperage.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics, but it's just wired differently.
Somebody who's
I guess.
An electrician can probably, you know, chime into you guys on your YouTube feed or social media. But yeah, it's totally a different outlet.
Can I just point out something that I never noticed until now? And this is going to sound totally weird, but I noticed this because of how I sit and where I sit. Mm-hmm. Kevin has beautiful teeth.
Okay. Oh,
thank you.
Let me see.
You smile, Kevin.
Yeah, he does.
Kevin,
thank you.
Is that weird? Is that weird that I just noticed
Especially
that?
Coming back from Europe where nobody has good teeth over there. Like,
yeah.
I was hoping you wouldn't get into some bad habits and come back looking like Austin Powers.
Yeah, it's all that cigarette smoking and, you know.
The coffee. And
so, yeah, the coffee and the wine.
Kevin, which did you like better? You'd been to France before, but you'd never been to Spain, right?
I'd been to Spain once, but only southern Spain.
Oh, okay.
I went to Barcelona in Spain, and I really liked it there. That's where I saw the prostitute.
Oh, good. Okay. Now we got ourselves a ball game.
Yeah,
it's a Spain prostitute. Okay.
Yeah, Spanish. Right. She was in a dark alleyway.
Right. She working?
I think she was. Yeah, she just had her purse on her.
Did you get an estimate? I mean, it never hurts to get an estimate.
I did not, but...
Yeah, who are those window guys you have? Window Nation?
Yes.
Do they do free estimates?
They do. If you don't like the price you got from another window company, contact Window Nation. Spain has beautiful coastline beaches, too. Like, you don't normally think of Spain as beaches, but they're beautiful, and the water is really clear right there. And, man, there's a lot of hot chicks in Spain, too.
Yeah, actually, in Barcelona, on my last day, I spent the whole day at the beach, and I bought a bottle of sangria.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just chilling on the beach, you know, kind of people watching.
You were like a whole Zac Brown song, your final day in Spain.
It was kind of a cliche, but, you know, I was jumping in the Mediterranean, taking bathroom breaks in there, and
sure.
Wait, you were going to the bathroom in the ocean?
Yeah, I mean there was nowhere else.
Other
to go.
People got
to
swim in that, Kevin.
I'm drinking sangria. You know?
Oh, so that's where you draw the line. People die in the ocean. There's fish poop. There's all this other bacteria. Kevin pees, and he's the problem.
Yeah, I guess you put it that way. Hey, Tubby, answer this question for us. Are you gonna? Is this gonna be the end of our weigh-in thing tomorrow?
I hope so. I mean, it's been tougher than I thought finishing this thing off. I've been good all week. I worked out this morning. I'm going to work out again tonight. Tomorrow, before I come in, I got to lose 0.6.
I think you can do it.
Man.
Half a pound.
closing this thing out.
I kind of just want you to win because I want my $25 so I can go to Applebee's. Yeah. Like at this point, it's like an investment. I realize I could keep getting paid.
Dude, it's all you could eat boneless wings for $12.99 at Applebee's
right now.
So you could take my $25, order the all you could eat boneless wings, have money to tip, and you are set, my friend.
Wow. Is there anything Applebee's in Brownsburg won't come up with?
That could be a big night.
Yeah, well, that's all you can eat.
Right.
Boy, that's
the thing is, you have to put away your pride, right? Like, because some people, they're like, oh, I don't want to bother the waitress again. Not me.
Yeah.
I want her to keep coming over time after time. You know, you better bring three more plates because I'm going to save you a trip.
You're like Homer Simpson at the seafood buffet. Hey, your son did great yesterday on the show with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. That was kind of a last minute deal. Right in the fire.
Put the moves on Tommy Lahren. She was totally enamored with him.
He took
How
a
cool
shot.
Is he? He gets called out of school to go be on the radio.
Yeah.
It's
coming up this afternoon.
You are going to come by, Mr. Kendall, and we're going to go off the rails. I don't know who my host is going to be. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's Nigel. Tune in and find out.
Thanks, Hammer. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. We'll be right back.